Anything warm at all from the previous night?
The bath was a time that, the same time that the fire is. And then as it cools down during the nighttime, we would feed it again.
Oh, so you kept it hot all the time?
Kept it hot all the time.
Oh, that was a lot of wood. And a lot of work, I guess.
So in the backyard, we had a wood pile.
Oh.
And I always had wondered, how did we ever keep that thing going without catching on fire? All those wood, all those people,
yeah.
Each family had a pile of wood. And I haven't heard of any fire getting lit up.
Yeah, because you would think if there's a fire under a part of the house all the time,
yeah.
that especially with no one around, that could be a problem.
But when we're all finished, you know, because mm-hmm. there's no one, the bath isn't going on, because at the end of the evening, mm-hmm. when the last one has finished, then we pull the plug.
Oh, you mean you emptied the water?
Emptied the water.
And where did you empty it?
Plumbing.
Ah.
So, you see, it's a one-night stand whenever we're going to take a bath.
And what was the order of who took the bath first?
It all depends on anyone who's ready to go in. They went and then come out, and then the next one goes in.
Now, the children didn't all go in together?
The children, I think, went with mother, you know. And so it wasn't bad at all.
Well,
it was nice to soak yourself in the hot water here, you know?
I like hot tubs, and in Japan,
uh-huh.
We have a hot tub that we keep very hot at home.
Uh-huh.
And when people come over to join us, it's way too hot for them, but it's about what it's like in Japan. It's like 108.
Is that right? Uh-huh.
Now, when would you take the baths? Before dinner or after?
After.
After.
Yeah. We don't take a bath till after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Then first come, first serve, they go in.
And would people put the yukatas on and walk around with the yukatas in the street?
No.
No?
No. We didn't wear Japanese clothes out in the street.
Oh.
Just regular clothing.
Uh-huh. So what were your dinners like? What kind of food did you eat?
Well, variety of, like tempura,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sukiyaki, and vegetables, and sashimi,
mm-hmm.
you know, tuna.
Well, you had all that good tuna.
Yeah, oh, you can't beat the fresh tuna. Also, sardines and mackerels.
Oh.
So throughout the year, why we were able to have a lot of fish.
That's why you're so healthy.
And then, during the, especially on near the wharf, sometimes the smelts, you know what the smelts
mm-hmm.
are? They would come into the
oh.
harbor, and we as young boys had a bamboo pole, and then we would catch all these, and then bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
Then mom would slice it and salted it. Then we had those long pole
mm-hmm.
with a, what do you call that thing to put it on?
Oh, like a tray?
Like a tray.
Uh-huh.
And spread it out and yank it all the way up so that the flies won't get it. And then once it gets nice and dry, then we can bring it down. And then we would build a fire outside the grill and have roasted smelt or roasted mackerel or roasted sardines. Now sardines were very, very oily, so we would just put a fire on and then the oil would drip down and then make it inside and we would eat it and it was just all of us were.
Oh, it sounds good. and so sardines and mackerel and smelt is what you would dry?
Yes.
And most houses did the drying?
Same thing.
So those big poles that you see in front from when you see the pictures of the houses, that's those drawing things.
That's right. And then, you know, during the girls' day or boys' day, we had that, what do you call that, koi? The flying. They would have that tall thing, and they would hang it under and let it. That's how all the houses would have their...
The paper?
Paper. Paper koi.
Now, looking for my pen, because I wanted to make sure I had your... Okay, well, I want to find out a little bit more about the...
There's some...
Okay, I don't know what I did about. Did you have a garden at your house?
No.
Did anyone have a garden?
There may have been some garden I could visualize, but the sandy soil there, you know, it was just to live there.
How far was the house from the water's edge?
It was receded quite a bit from the water area, because the canneries had occupied all that area there. And then behind the cannery were all the houses.
Oh, well, in fact, let's look at this map. So the canneries, this is Fish Harbor, and the canneries would have been along here?
The wharves. Where is the water?
Well, here's Wharf Street, and here's Fish Harbor. This is like a much later map.
Oh, this is Cannery Street, huh?
Yeah,
That's where I used to live.
Okay. Yeah.
And what's all this?
Now, this is the harbor, this is the channel, and this probably was put in later from dredging. This is Mobil Oil Company.
Oh.
But I would suspect that this was called Dock Street and Seaside. So I would suspect that this was water
when you were
growing up.
It was water.
And you were on Cannery Street then.
Mm-hmm.
And the canneries were where? On this side?
Cannery was near the seashore.
Okay, so somewhere in through here then.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
And then the houses were on those streets.
In the back of the cannery.
Now, I saw a reference to a neighborhood that was called Hokkaido. Where was that?
Hokkaido is the name of the Japanese village where they came from.
Oh.
And a lot of the Hokkaido people used to live, so they used to call it Hokkaido.
Okay.
It's still the same housing. But the
Mixed in. Okay, so it wasn't like a separate community.
No, it's all together.
And then there seemed to have been, when you would have been going to school, almost as many non-Japanese children on the island. Where did they all live?
There were no non-Japanese in the island. There were, as we recall, there were two Russian families.
Right.
Apart from that, they were all Japanese.
But in another part of the island, there weren't some Yugoslavs and Mexicans?
They lived in San Pedro.
In San Pedro itself. Okay. Now, do you remember, did your mother ever work in the canneries?
I think at the beginning she did work, but as the children came, she would stay at home. Oh. She was a homemaker.
Do you remember the whistles from the canneries?
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
The whistles, I guess each cannery had different types of whistle. So whenever the boat came in and the unloading, the whistle would go on. And by the tone of the whistle, the mothers would know exactly which cannery it was. And if it was theirs, they had the knives and everything all ready. They would pick up and go directly to the cannery. That's how it was.
Did your sister?
You've
got an older brother.
Yes.
You have an older brother, right? What was his name?
Kiyoshi.
And he was like 3 years older than you.
Yes. Then I came. They used to know me as Yutaka.
Yutaka, okay.
And then my younger sister is Akiko.
And how much younger than you was she?
She was about 4 years younger. Then a younger brother named Kei.
Kei?
Kei, K-E-I.
Oh, okay.
And then the youngest sister, Kimi.
So family.
So that was our family.
Did it get crowded in your house as these younger ones came?
No, we managed. I guess we just get accustomed to different areas.
Now, so when you were growing up, your dad wasn't fishing further away. He would come home every day or
yes.
not?
When they're fishing locally, mm-hmm. they would come home every day.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So it was when they started going to Mexico that
yes,
they would be on longer. And by then you were probably in junior high school or something.
Junior high or even high school.
Okay. Who did the discipline and things when your father was gone?
Mother. She was the strict disciplinarian.
She was strict?
Yeah.
And what kind of jobs did you all have in the house? You and your brother had to get the wood for the bath.
That's right. And also, either once a year or twice a year, we would have a general house cleaning, scrubbing the floors, living floors. And that's about it.
Mm.
So, among our boyhood days, for me personally, it was an idyllic area because we used to fish from the wharf or go get on the small rowboat that Dad had and row around the harbor. Well, we used to go to Dead Man's Island, which is now situated with a jail compound. And at the Dead Man's Island, we would play pirates and warriors and did all kinds of things where the rocks are. And in those days, in the jetties and so forth, we would cut the mackerel head, put it into a small net, toss it out, wait a few minutes, and haul in all these big Dungans crab.
Oh!
And so we used to have quite a bit of crab dinner just from the ocean. And so I always think of those days, and especially the harbor, that's the only place where you could swim. And in those days, it was a crystal clear blue water that you could look down, not polluted like it is now. Mm-hmm. And I could always remember when I was taught how to swim, Dad would make a cork
See? Like a life preserver.
Yes, and then we would dog paddle along because, you know, it's down deep. And then the older boys eventually took over. He would send near all the boats. And then one day the older boy would say, okay, Yutaka, it's about that time that you start swimming without the cork. And I says, how can I? I'm going to go down. Then the men, all the boys would say, we'll dive in and save you. So they took the thing off and got on the edge of the boat and shoved off. And then I start wriggling around, and to my surprise, why, I was floating and swimming. And that's how I learned how to swim.
How old were you, do you remember?
I must have been about 7 or 8. Oh. Yeah.
And so it would be right where the boats were in Fish Harbor?
Yes.
And there wasn't the boats were
all tied up to the right there, see? But there are a lot of spaces, open spaces.
But the water there wasn't oily from the boats?
No.
Oh.
Because we used to always go to the, we had the fire boats in the harbor there. They had a deck, long deck, and we used to go there and dive off from there and float and walk. So that was a nice place to be.
What other kinds of things did you do as a boy?
Man. Then we took martial arts. And by that time I was around 12, I was quite active in any kind of a sports. And in terminology, you have to either choose kendo or judo. And I told mom and dad I wanted to take both. And they said, no, you have to choose between one of those two. And so it was a stroke of luck that I chose judo, because in judo you had to practice once a week. And as I became more proficient, it came from a white belt to a brown belt to a black belt, see? And I progressed on. So when I reached the age of 16 or 17, I retained my first black belt.
Oh.
And to this day, I thank the Lord that I chose judo, because in my future years as a youth worker, when I first started off I started off as a physical education director. And I was teaching them all kinds of sports, and one specifically was the basketball. And I would organize the boys into different teams and so forth. And I can still vividly recall I was refereeing these two teams. And this boy made a foul, so I called it. And he was a pretty big black boy. And in He got mad. He says, how come you call? Well, the referee has the right to call, you know. You have to have some balance. You see, and I could tell that he was getting angrier. And pretty soon, he came charging at me. So when he came, I gently flipped him over on his back. He was embarrassed, but he got up and he came at me again. And this time I flipped him higher and he landed on his back. And then the third time he was embarrassed because all the boys were surrounded with us. And before he started coming in the third time, I says, Jimmy, if you come again, I'm going to flip you on your head. And with that, he turned around and went home.
So it came in handy.
Came in very handy. But then the thing is, the next day, the father came with a boy, you know, the big black fellow. And he said, how come you took care of my boy with flipping him over? So I explained the situation. He says, would you do the same? And he says, I understand. And he shook his hand with me. And I heard that when he took him home, why, he ripped the tar off. So that was, so many times during the, as I graduated from physical director to a game show director, from game show director, I became a recreation director. And then I became the vice executive. And that finally became the executive of the Boys Club. So through these years, all the different area of confrontation, they all knew that I was a black gal.
Well, how did you keep it up all those years?
I had a judo class in my boys' club.
Oh, and you taught?
And I taught. Oh. I taught the boys how self-defense and so forth.
Well, who was the judo instructor on Terminal Island?
His name was Yamada Sensei. Mm-hmm. And he taught a judo class in Orange County and also in Terminal Island. So he would switch back and forth and teach us the basics of judo.
How often was the class?
I think it was once a week, as I recall.
And what, do you remember where it was held?
It was at the fathers built a judo, you call it dojo, behind the tori, you know, the tori. And then they put the mats and everything. And that was our meeting place.
Oh, now where was the tori?
Tori was near the Japanese community hall.
Is that the same as the Fisherman's Hall, or was
yes, Fisherman's Hall?
The Fisherman's Hall.
Yes, just behind where the the elementary school, and then the Tory was by the sideways, as I recall, and then the judo Tory gymnasium. And the Fisherman's Hall, the kendo people used on that.
Did more boys take kendo or judo?
It was about even and divided.
What did the girls take? What did your sisters do?
They had quite a few activities in the church, at the Baptist church. Mm-hmm. And they would go on outings and so forth. And that's another area that I can recall is that Miss Swanson came as a missionary when we were young. And then she could take care of the girls' side, but the boys, we were too rambunctious for her, so she recruited her younger brother named Buddy.
Oh, is he the one who wrote you that letter?
That's right. And he's the one we were told to be at the classroom, wait for your new club leader. And so we anxiously waited. And then here comes Buddy Swanson. Would he be a Swede?
Maybe so with that name. Yeah, he might very well be with that name.
He was the telephone installer, you know, climbing those tall, and we were just aghast, you know. And he says, "Hi, fellows." And we say, "Hi." So he said there's some basic rules that you have to follow. But first I'm going to teach you how to walk on your hands. And he would get on the hand and walk all over the room. I said, "Now I want you boys to start trying that yourself." And we would try and, you know, flop over and so forth until each one of us got skillful enough to start walking on our hands. So it was quite a spectacle, I guess, to the tournament, because all the boys were walking in their hands on the sidewalk.
Now, were you already at that time, had you started your Charles Atlas program? When did you start that?
That was later on when I became in high school.
Oh, in high school.
But during the time that Buddy came, mm-hmm. he would take us on an outing outside Terminal Island. But in order to do that, he had to recruit his fellow telephone guys, buddies. And they would all jump into different cars. And the one that I recall very vividly was he took us to the slaughterhouse where, you know, those cows, or as you would walk in, there's all these cows and follow with a big hammer, sledgehammer, and they would hit the...
How did you feel about it?
We were aghast. We would flop over, you know, and they would drag it away. And then he said, "Now, from that area," I said, "you're going to go to the area, what they do with those things." And then we would go into the factory where the ladies were, what was it, hot dogs, the dogs, and all different things. And we would walk by and the ladies would look at us, wondering who we were. And we would each get a wiener.
Did you eat it?
And we ate it. And it was good. So that was the essence of my... Yeah.
Well, when you would go on these outings into the larger community, mm-hmm. did you experience racism?
No. It's amazing. In fact, we were more of a curiosity, you know, wondering who we were. And once we were going to the Ford manufacturing place where they do a lot of manufacturing, and we would walk in, and naturally the workers would all stare at us, wondering who we were. So when they explained that we were from Terminal Island and going for a tour, they were very friendly.